It's time to register to vote for the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Each congregation or multi-point parish must register their pastor and lay voters with the LCMS Office of Secretary by Sunday, March 24th of 2019. A nomination form has been mailed to every LCMS congregation. Learn more at issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, live this Friday, March the 8th. We've got our four soundbites ready to go. Then, after we have set them, after we have played them for you and you have heard them, it's your turn. You give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We need to know who you are, which one you're voting for, and why. That reason is very important, why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for. 1-877-623-MYIE. Phone call voters get to vote first, and we're giving away the LPR bundle package. That's a Luther Rose medallion, courtesy of Ad Crucem, the I Have Issues t-shirt, and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. It goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Soundbite number one this week comes from Rebecca Curtis, answering the question, why we remember an anonymous woman.
It really is kind of funny. Jesus is having a meal with some people. The woman comes in and anoints his feet. It's near his passion, and we see the story in several of the Gospels. But in Matthew in particular, he says that what she has done will be remembered and that she'll be spoken of because of it. And then he doesn't tell us what her name is. And there's some irony there, like, this is so important to us. We're sure going to remember it. Well, who? What are we remembering? Well, that's the wrong question. You're not supposed to remember who. You're supposed to remember what. You're supposed to remember her act of worship, her act of faith, her confession that she understands who Jesus is and what he has done for her, that he has forgiven her so generously and completely, and that, you know, there's so much confusion among the followers of Jesus going toward his passion. Even the disciples don't understand what his sacrifice is going to look like, what his reign and rule are going to look like. But she prepares him for his burial. She does it in this very generous and humble way. That's what we're supposed to remember, her humility, her obedience, her generosity. Not her name. Not that she was some kind of great individual that, you know, we should be naming our daughters after and citing as one of these reasons that women are incredible leaders in the church. It is her confession that is important, not herself.
That's soundbite number one from Rebecca Curtis, why we remember an anonymous woman. If you'd like to vote for it, 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet with your vote at issuesetc or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's soundbite number two. It comes from Dr. Anthony Esselin, a word for praise peacocks.
Let us suppose that you're in a church and the choir is meant to do two things, to lead the congregation in sacred music and to provide some sacred music at appropriate times, perhaps, when the congregation is not in the position to sing at all. Okay? But let's suppose that the choir is where I think the choir ought to be, invisible to the people, so that the music comes from behind you and above you in an organ loft. Okay, so you are not looking at people performing, and the people who are singing in the choir or the organist, they are not aware that you are looking at them, because it's not, the temptation is, I mean, both ways, right? To focus on it as a performance, as if you were in a theater, and for the performers themselves to focus on it as a performance and to watch you as you are watching them. You can't act like a peacock if you know that nobody is looking at you, right? because they can't look at you because you're way back there and you're above. You're not in anybody's line of sight. Not in anybody's line of sight, then, you might just be able to get out of yourself, to give yourself away, and just sing because you're worshiping God, and not have it infected by your desire to look good and be proud of yourself and such things like that. That's helpful. Performances, not helpful at all.
That's soundbite number two, Dr. Anthony Esselin with the word for Praise Peacocks. If you'd like to vote for that one, 1-877-623-MYIE. Vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org or via Twitter @issuesetc. Soundbite number three comes from Pastor Jeff Hemmer. We were talking about the season of Lent, and Pastor Hemmer talked a little bit about the proper use of Lenten disciplines.
There is some truth to the criticism that we don't want to do our disciplines just for show. But I think for the most part, the pendulum has completely swung in the other way, and we do our Christian freedom just for show many times. Instead of using these tools that the church has given us as instruments to put to death what is evil and sinful within us, and to practice a kind of self-denial for the purpose of sharpening our hope for resurrection and the putting off of all the sinfulness of our flesh eternally. So, can you misuse ashes? Certainly. Can you take wrong confidence in baptism and say, because I'm baptized, I don't need to go to church? Absolutely. But we don't give up doing baptism because people misuse it, and we don't give up doing any of these other disciplines of the season of Lent because people misuse them, but rather we preach and teach that they might be used profitably and not pridefully.
That is soundbite number three, Pastor Jeff Hemmer, a proper use of Lenten disciplines. Vote for that one, 1-877-623-MYIE. Here comes soundbite number four. After we've played it, we're going to take a break and we'll take your votes. It's soundbite number four, Dr. Michael Behe, the scientific basis for biological evolution.
Just like everybody else in his time in the mid-19th century, Darwin didn't know anything about the cell. The cell at that time was thought to be kind of a little glob of jelly, protoplasm. And people thought that maybe it would bubble up from even the sea bottom because it was so simple. So they had a pretty obscure view of the cell. And even molecules, we now know molecules are the basis of matter, but back then, molecules were still kind of theoretical entities. And so the science of Darwin's day, and especially the biology of Darwin's day, was very much more primitive than what we have now. And nobody did experiments on evolution for a long time after Darwin. Darwin's theory was based mostly on his observations, but there were no experiments. It was a theoretical construct. Absolutely no progress has been made in explaining how complex functional systems could arise by random processes, even though science has made wonderful strides in explaining how things work. We can't understand how life could have arisen by random processes. And so it makes you think that maybe we're barking up the wrong tree here.
That's soundbite number four, Dr. Michael Behe on the scientific basis for biological evolution. Those are the four soundbites. It's time to vote. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll start taking your phone calls, your email. We will check our Facebook fan page and we'll check Twitter as well for your votes. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week right after this. It's time to register to vote for the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Each congregation or multi-point parish must register their pastor and lay voters with the LCMS Office of Secretary by Sunday, March 24th of 2019. A nomination form has been mailed to every LCMS congregation. Learn more at issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident.
The difference between being in the world and being of the world finally comes down to being in Christ. However they live, whatever they do, wherever they go, Christians are in Christ. These words from the Reverend Dr. Joel Bierman perfectly encapsulate the March issue of The Lutheran Witness. Life together, set apart. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon, March the 8th. Soundbite number one is Rebecca Curtis, Why We Remember an Anonymous Woman. Soundbite number two, Dr. Anthony Esslin with a word for Praise Peacocks. Soundbite number three, Pastor Jeff Hammer, A Proper Use of Lenten Disciplines. Or soundbite number four, Dr. Michael Behe, The Scientific Basis for Biological Evolution. Our phone number, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Up first is Dennis, who listens in O'Fallon, Illinois. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, I'm going to vote for Pastor Hammer. I always like his takes on various subjects here in Lent, whether one abuses the ashes or they use it correctly or abuses any of the sacraments or use it correctly. That's what the pastors do is via scripture. They teach us laymen how not to abuse and how to properly use the sacraments and some of the practices. And the real reason why I'm voting for Pastor Hammer is because he definitely leads by example. He's a great pastor.
Thank you very much, Dennis, and thanks for listening there in Illinois. Deanna says, Pastor Hammer, the proper use of Lenten disciplines, a clear winner, absolutely apropos of our current culture. As Christians, we need to adhere to the call in God's word to be set apart. We need to acknowledge that God is holy and sovereign. Our behavior should reflect a position of humility, fear, and love. When we are too casual in our posture towards God, we invite the world also to relax their posture toward and even to the point of disregarding him altogether. Deanna, thank you very much. Carolyn says, a vote for Dr. Michael Behe. He is one of many scientists who recognize the flaws in evolution, and that's a subject that needs much more widespread discussion, especially among our youth. Carolyn, thanks for your vote. Todd is voting as well. He says, because it's distressing that so many church services have an assumption, the main draw of the attraction is to their church is the praise band, where the band is the focus of all the attention. I wish this soundbite could be played for every worship leader at the big box pop culture churches. They would never, ever place themselves out of sight of the congregation. Would they? I don't think they would. Todd, thank you very much for your vote. That's a vote for soundbite number two, Dr. Anthony Esslin. Scott's voting for soundbite number four, Dr. Michael Behe. The evolutionists continue to promote their theory without valid proof backed by experimentation, even in areas where it need not be promoted, as Dr. Menton has mentioned in on other programs. When I was still teaching, I ordered new textbooks on forces, motion, and simple mechanics. It had things about evolution in it. I sent it back, and I said, I'll keep my old units. The scientists are indeed barking up the wrong tree, says Scott. Scott, thanks for your vote. In Nebraska, Robert is voting as well for soundbite number two. He says, hey guys, Dr. Anthony Esselin is my vote. The reason is because his comment is very clearly and cleverly underlies the problem of pride in the church choir that wants to act like performers instead of teaching and confessing the word. Plus, the phrase praise peacocks is priceless and needs to be added to our Lutheran vocabulary. Robert, thanks for listening in Nebraska. James listens in Springfield, Illinois. He says, a vote for soundbite from Rebecca Curtis at soundbite number one. So very true. There are many anonymous women and men who serve the Lord and his church today as well. I thank God for their faithful and humble service. This is an interesting account in the Gospels. Did the Spirit ensure its inclusion for our own personal faith-inspired devotion to serve? I'm sure that we'll find out one day, and we may find out who she was. James, thanks for listening in Springfield. In Minnesota, Lisa says, my soundbite vote is for Rebecca Curtis, why we remember the anonymous woman. I love that on a day when the secular world is celebrating women, that Rebecca Curtis points out that the acts of a woman who served Jesus in humility. This unnamed woman will be forever remembered for her acts of faith and not for her name. It's just a beautiful contradiction to the world's view of a strong woman versus God's view of a strong woman. That's a very good point to make, Lisa. Thank you very much. Zona listens in Evansville, Indiana. I love Rebecca Curtis's soundbite. She showed how faith-filled the woman was as she served Jesus in humility, love, and obedience. Zona, thanks for listening in Indiana. Brad listens in Battle Creek, Michigan. He says, I would like to vote for Rebecca Curtis for Soundbite of the Week, but after having listened to her message on remembering the anonymous woman, I believe it would be wrong to draw undue attention to Mrs. Curtis. I will not vote for her simply to honor and serve Jesus in humble submission as this Lenten season, following the example of the woman who anointed Jesus' feet. That's as good a reason as any, Brad. Thank you very much. I don't know which one he is voting for, but he's not voting for that one. James listens in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He says, I love soundbite number four, Dr. Michael Behe. I find that our young people don't believe in the creation story because of the so-called science teachings that they receive in public schools. This puts an X on the message of the Bible, which lead to unbelief in the rest of Scripture. Being able to provide answers to our young is a necessary capability. James, thanks for listening in Fort Wayne. Amy listens in Noblesville, Indiana. She says, my vote this week is for Rebecca Curtis, soundbite number one. It seems appropriate today as society is celebrating women, which is embarrassing for me, being a Christian woman who could not disagree more with the feminists that create a supposed celebration. We should all be mindful that this is not about us, but about what he did for us and how very blessed we are. How I would have loved to be that anonymous woman preparing our Lord to go to the cross for our sins. On a side note, Rebecca and Rose are amazing women, and their book has changed my life and how I look at being a Christian woman in this crazy mixed up world. I'm also glad that you have them on your show so often. Thank you. Well, we're happy to have them as well, Amy, and thanks for listening in Noblesville. Thomas listens in Georgia. He says, I enjoyed each of the four speakers. I vote for the comments of Dr. Anthony Esselin made about the preferred location for and the purposes of a choir in worship. They rightly serve to inspire and support worship, reflection, and meditation on the texts and the theme of the day. Praise peacocks are fine for performance, but not conducive to worship. Thanks for the issues broadcast. Well, thanks for listening, Tom. Dave listens in Indianapolis. He says, I'd like to vote for Dr. Esselin's Praise Peacock soundbite. I think it's a good illustration of what we are all trying not to do and gives a caricature that I can discuss with friends in more liberal denominations without personalizing the discussion. And that's Daryl in Temple, Texas. Daryl, thank you very much. He says his vote is for soundbite number two. Dr. Esselin provides a clear explanation for the purpose of the choir in the life of the congregation. Having the choir behind and above the congregation is in stark contrast to much of today's performance-oriented worship. The same idea is that we don't applaud in our congregation when the choir finishes the song. It's not about the performance. It's about what the song has taught us about Christ. Brian is in Wisconsin. He's voting for soundbite number 4. Dr. Behe gets my enthusiastic vote. We are living in such a post-Christian age, making pre-evangelism even more important. I view the academic support of creationism as a very important aspect of that work. And Dr. Behe does the job in a magnificent fashion. Robert is listening in Taylor, Texas. He's voting for Pastor Hemmer, soundbite number 3. I agree that Christian asceticism is done by some people for the wrong reasons, but like what Pastor Hemmer said, because these things can be misused doesn't mean that we throw them away. These practices can be very useful if done with one's heart in the right place. Robert, thanks for listening as well. James says his vote is for the comment about the anonymous woman, soundbite number 1, Rebecca Curtis. It serves as a passionate reminder that we all can serve, and that the important thing is the service and not the servant. We are not to make of ourselves spiritual superstars, but rather focus on Jesus. Doug listens in Michigan. He says, my vote is for Dr. Anthony Esselin regarding his word praise peacocks. His description of proper worship by both participants and attendees in a divine service evoke vivid memories of my first visit to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne a few years ago, where I attended my first Lutheran service. Wow, that's a place to attend it. He says, someone originally raised a Baptist church and who had participated in church choirs and orchestras in front of the congregation over the years, I was immediately struck by the reverence and Christ-centered focus of the entire service, not just because of what I heard, but because of what I did not see. The beautiful voices of the contrai, the powerful swell of the organ, and the joyful strains from the orchestra in the loft behind me only served to direct my eyes to the enormous cross at the front of the chapel. Everything was where it should be, a reminder of what Christ has done, suspended before us, the music all around us, and not a peacock in sight. Our son has since been baptized in the Lutheran Church and is now enjoying the Catechism, praised Christ, and thanks for all who help make issues, etc. Kathleen is in Godfrey, Illinois. She's voting for soundbite number 2, Dr. Esselin. A correct reading of the place of the choir. Music is the handmaiden of theology, and it's faithful Aaron holding up the prophet's hands, to quote a favorite hymn, hark the voice of Jesus calling, the original, not Pastor Starkey's equally fine version. Philip listens in Virginia. I vote for soundbite number 2, Dr. Esselin. Worshiping and singing is not about seeing, being seen by others, but like a peacock, as he said. Unfortunately, I saw that many times in an evangelical church. It's one of the reasons I'm LCMS and a confessional Lutheran now. You're not alone there, Philip. Michael listens in Natoma, Kansas. I vote for Dr. Esselin. With the congregational singing in general decline and the increase in worship as performance and churches without balconies, his words remind us once again that the focus of worship is to be on Christ, not on the individual. Darren is listening in Huntsville, Texas. He says, I'm so tempted to vote for Behe because I'm a scientist and resonate with his work, but I'm also tempted to vote for Esselin because I'm a strong supporter of a high view of worship. But Curtis's soundbite is the one that hit me hard in a good way. I deeply wish to make a contribution and have impact of those around me for Christ, but why? It is my impact that I am after, or do I want to be known for making a contribution or known for my impact on others? I love that she pointed out that the impact of the grieving, worshiping woman is known and not her name. May it be so with me, and may I have an audience of one. And may I also have the issues, etc. pack of swag, he asked. Well, we'll send you one just for asking nicely, Darren. Write his name down if you would, Jeff. Chad says, great sound bites, great topics, and great guests. My vote for this week is for soundbite number 4, Dr. Behe. Keep asking the hard questions on evolution. We will. Dave says, I vote for Michael Behe. Darwinian theory is a cancer that only goes against scriptural truths, and it's also poor science, and it's about time it's recognized as such. Daniel says, my vote has to go to Dr. Behe. I work at a medical school and constantly hear the message of evolution's supposed scientific basis. As Dr. Behe said in his interview, it's a fine theory if limited to its original scope, but what we have now is applied far beyond the original application. I continue to hope people will realize that evolutionary theory has become a secular religion, as they would open their minds and hearts again to God's word, a message that does not have the necessary answers for life from beginning to end. Matt is listening in Blue Earth, Minnesota. He's voting for Pastor Hemmer, soundbite number 3, because he has the best beard. That's a good reason, too. And Alan listens in Missouri. He says, I've decided to vote here this time. I vote for soundbite number 2, Dr. Anthony Esselin. My reason is not just to be sounding the same drum in an angry sort of way. Rather, my reason is for voting this way is because our fallen nature always defaults to an anthropocentric, egocentric way of thinking. When we have the band up front or the choir up front, we effectively change what is happening in the service. With the band or the choir in front, we tend to think or view their work as performance or concert. And there's a proper venue for that. If it is sacred music, the church's chancel might be the best place for such a performance. That is, for example, Handel's Messiah or the like. That is not worship. Christian worship must always be Christocentric and therefore always mindful of his cross and his empty tomb and his parousia and other things about Christ, who is the one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This egocentric tendency must be taught to our pastors and organists who do not view themselves as performers. They better not. In the service of God and in his holy temple. Thanks for your vote there, Alan, and thanks for listening in Missouri. Thanks to everybody who voted. And according to those votes, the winner this week is soundbite number 2, Dr. Anthony Esselin, A Word for Praise Peacocks.
Let us suppose that you're in a church and the choir is meant to do two things, to lead the congregation in sacred music and to provide some sacred music at appropriate times, perhaps, when the congregation is not in the position to sing at all, okay? But let's suppose that the choir is where I think the choir ought to be, invisible to the people, so that the music comes from behind you and above you in an organ loft, okay? So you are not looking at people performing, and the people who are singing in the choir or the organist, they are not aware that you are looking at them, because it's not, the temptation is, I mean, both ways, right? To focus on it as a performance, as if you were in a theater, and for the performers themselves to focus on it as a performance and to watch you as you are watching them. You can't act like a peacock if you know that nobody is looking at you, right? Because they can't look at you, because you're way back there and you're above. You're not in anybody's line of sight. Not in anybody's line of sight, then, you might just be able to get out of yourself, to give yourself away, and just sing because you're worshiping God, and not have it infected by your desire to look good and be proud of yourself and such things like that. That's helpful. Performances, not helpful at all.
That's the winner of Soundbite of the Week, according to your vote. Soundbite number 2, Dr. Anthony Esselin with A Word for Praise Peacocks. We're going to give away 3 LPR bundle packages because of the sheer volume of votes this week. Thanks to everybody who voted, but Doug in Michigan, Amy in Noblesville, Indiana, and of course, Darren, who asked nicely from Huntsville, Texas, will get the LPR bundle package. Please send us your shirt size and your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part this week by Luther Academy. Luther Academy trains Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth. Learn more about this faithful Lutheran worldwide mission outreach at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll review the movie Captain Marvel with Pastor Ted Geese. We'll have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller introduce us to the book of Habakkuk, and we'll resume our Lutheran Catechesis series talking with Pastor Peter Bender about the rich young ruler, covetousness, and the close of the commandments. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution? I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in His Word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.